What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
My guest today is Editor-in-Chief Chris Grant. My name is Charlie Hall. You're listening to Polygons, Quality Control. Thanks for joining me today, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
We are here to talk about a nifty little piece of hardware, and this is the Analog Super NT. Your deck on the review of this product says, Analog's case for buying a Super Nintendo Entertainment System, an SNES, all over again. What the heck is this thing, Chris?
If you're old like me, you remember the Super Nintendo fondly. Obviously, Nintendo came out with their Super NES Classic Edition this year. Analog is a hardware company that's been doing some really interesting things for the last probably like 7 or 8 years now. They started by making a Neo Geo hardwood case for what they call the NVS system, which was like the arcade system. The carts are cheaper. It was great. Nobody could afford that thing, and nobody could afford Neo Geo in the first place. Their next system they made was the Analog NT, which was a $500 NES console, played original NES carts, used NES controllers, but also used original NES CPU and PPU chips inside. Those are not easy to come by, obviously.
Yeah, where do you even...
I think they had some old NES boards that didn't work, so they could salvage them. And then I guess they had some that they found salvaged, but it didn't scale. And the console was very expensive.
No kidding.
So the new solution they came up with for the NT Mini was use what's called an FPGA, a field programmable gate array, which allows them to basically flash a chip to pretend to simulate or emulate another chip or another series of chips. So they essentially were doing similar to what clone consoles have been doing for literal decades. So they were making a clone of the NES using a system on a chip to simulate the entire NES hardware workings. And they were doing it by basically building a system, an engineer named Kevin Horton, to study the NES and now the Super NES, to basically reverse engineer it so that the carts don't know that it's not an NES, or in this case, a Super NES. The NT Mini came out, had a couple patches to kind of improve compatibility, but had incredible compatibility. It was cheaper. It was only $50 cheaper, but cheaper. And delivered a lot of the promise of the original Analog. And so with the Super NT, what Analog going to do, and for the NT, if people are not even sure if they've heard about that, you probably saw headlines like, this $500 NES is the Ferrari of game consoles, or something like that. A lot of that type of coverage. They got a lot of attention. It had an aluminum body. It was very beautiful. For this new console, they wanted to get the price down to under $200. And so, and they also wanted to make a Super Nintendo, an even more complicated console to simulate. And so they did it by making the console out of plastic instead of aluminum. They did it by getting rid of 4 controller ports, going to 2 controller ports. They did it by getting rid of the analog outputs. So it only has an HDMI output.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. Which is, you know, right there in the company's name, Analog. They have a plan that they haven't sort of proven works yet, that they might be able to sell an aftermarket add-on coming out of the HDMI port to convert it to crisp analog, RGB analog. For the certain audience that really cares about analog, like, you can get good RGB video out of an actual Super Nintendo without any modding. You just need a cable. So I don't think it's as urgent as it was with, let's say, the NES, where it's harder to get crisp RGB analog video out of an NES. But I think that there is an audience that really cares and would like to have one thing that plays the Super Nintendo games. Either way, so the Super NT is a $190 Super Nintendo. It effectively acts just like a Super Nintendo, so it plays your original carts. It plays uses your original controllers. It will even reproduce the bugs in games, the glitches in games, like exactly as if it was a Super Nintendo. It'll use your, if you have a ROM cart, it'll use your ROM carts just fine.
Meaning, like, if I put an SD card in there.
Yeah. So the ROM carts themselves are FPGA based, like, devices, or largely, and take SD cards. So,
oh,
if you do that, then that is an opportunity for you. I put my review like, you know, your appetite for that is really up to your own personal moral compass. Talk to a priest before using. But the allure of something like this is that for people like me who have emulators, there's some really amazing emulators out there that are also completely accurate. Hagen is the one that comes up a lot when we talk about how good the Super NT is. People say, well, emulators can do that too. And that's true. Emulators absolutely can be completely cycle accurate and have no bugs, right? They've been around long enough to test all these things. Emulators are always going to inherit some latency through the operating system, just as sort of an underlying almost requirement of running on an operating system. Obviously, emulators get a lot of benefits from being on top of an operating system. For example, the Super NES Classic Edition that Nintendo makes is an emulator-based system. It gets to rewind gameplay. You get to have save states. All those things don't exist on the Super NT. The Super NT is a Super Nintendo. It doesn't have save states unless it's built into the game cart itself.
But the other thing that doesn't exist on the Super NT is that complexity and wonkiness of trying to set up your own emulator, right? Probably the first time that I monkeyed around with an emulator was DOSBox, trying to get my old scum favorites to run, which I purchased and have every right to run an emulation of since I purchased them originally as a child. Anyway, but that involved like putting in some extra characters before I would launch a game to speed up or slow down the clock speed, right? I encountered that again recently when I tried to turn a Raspberry Pi into an NES emulator, right? I had Zelda running, but it was going at 120 miles an hour. I needed to slow it down, and there were some wonky commands that I had to input. What this does with this FPGA, it takes care of all of that on the chip. And this thing sounds like a convenience more than anything else.
I would say this, that is definitely true. I think there are emulator-based systems that can match the sort of ease of use. The Super NES Classic is a notable example. The downside to the Super NES Classic, it only has 21 games on it. What if you do want to...
And there's only 21 of them,
yeah,
right?
That's... Hey, it's easier to get than the NES Classic was. And if you work at it, you can still find one now. We'll see how they do it when they re-release the NES Classic this spring, I think. So the Super NES Classic is a really nice piece of hardware. It's got original controller, at least something close enough to the original controller that feels great. It's got 21 really great games. Not every game you want, but enough. It's a great value at $80 with all the games. Like, that's a kind of enormous value. The quality of that emulation is really superb. There's some latency, but it's not significant. I think most people would never notice it. And so for a lot of people, I look at that console and I think that, like, that's what you should get. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think if you care a little bit more about some accuracy or some settings, and you want to go that far, you can get a Pi with Hagen on it and RetroPi or something. It is a little more cumbersome. I'm pretty good with computers, and I had a really hard time getting my 8-bit do controllers, my Bluetooth controllers, to work on a Raspberry Pi like 18 months ago. Apparently they've improved it since then, but like, that's a lot of work. You can do it on a computer. So you can run this on a computer, and like, again, that's great if you don't mind sitting in front of your computer to play games. So there's a lot of cases where I think, like, the great news is that there's a lot of options for you to play Super Nintendo games of varying legality. But the good news about this solution is that this solution didn't really exist before. We had clone consoles, which are, you know, again, Hyperkin has a new one called the Super Retron HD, which is like pretty good. It's okay. What the Super NT does is it provides a thing that, number one, looks and feels great. It feels as good as any sort of like classic console has ever felt. You know, I'm not going to put it on the same level as like an Xbox One X or something. But in terms of something like the Super Nintendo, like, it feels better than a Super Nintendo feels. It feels better built. It has a lot of settings on it. It does actually have a ton of that granularity that you're talking about. If you want to get into the weeds on the Super NT, it's there. It has, but it also has a level of simplicity that is hard to come by that is actually very reminiscent of a Super Nintendo. You plug it into your TV. You plug it into a power outlet, in this case, USB power. That's it. It works. You can plug it in and turn on a game. You put a cart in. It all makes sense. The downsides to it are it's $190, which is not cheap. You have to put the carts in. My Super NT actually should arrive today. I've got the review units here, but the version I pre-ordered months back, arrives today. And in anticipation of that, I bought myself a copy of Chrono Trigger because my buddy Steve Dietline, hey Steve, his brother took it to a friend's house and never brought it back. And I've never gotten over that. Steve, you're a great guy. I don't want to rub this in. But my memory of that was that I wanted to get this game back, this Emerald Card. I have it on DS already, but I went and bought a copy on eBay for like $90. This is not a cheap hobby. And getting the carts is expensive. Maybe you feel okay buying a Super NES Classic and then downloading all 21 of those games onto an SD card and putting it into a Super NT via a multi-cart. If you feel okay with that, that seems like, you know, to your point, like I have a license to own this game or run this game. Okay, great. Those multi card, those ever drives are about $200 themselves.
Oh, Lord.
An SD to SNES is expensive too. So there is hope that the Super NT will be jailbroken. The NT Mini was jailbroken almost immediately after release. The engineer who designed the FPGA cores, Kevin Horton, basically is allowed. He's a contractor, and Analog basically says people can do whatever they want with our console. We don't care. And so Kevin, who designed the actual guts of the thing, released a jailbroken firmware that allowed, in the case of the NT Mini, it had some good features. It had a music player to pull music off the cards. It had a cart dumper. So you actually put your classic carts in the thing, suck the ROMs off of them, and save them on SD cards. You don't have to keep putting your, you know, 30-year-old cartridges in and out of this thing. You could put them in a case somewhere. They belong in a museum. So there were some nice features. But the other thing that this jailbroken firmware did is it allowed you to run games off of an SD card. Not just the ROMs that you dump yourself, but ROMs you, for example, somehow find on the internet. That adds a lot of inherent value to the thing, again, depending on your moral compass. It also, and kind of most interestingly for me, added more cores. So the thing sold as an NES, but they added something like 18 8-bit consoles, everything from Gen 1 stuff, Atari, 2600, 5200, up to Sega Master System, Game Boy, Game Boy Color. Seeing all those things running kind of beautifully on an HD display with no input latency is kind of incredible. And getting that to work in terms of not only the elegance of it, but the value of having a lot of those systems preserved in that way, you know, preserved in like a cycle accurate kind of hardware based simulation. I think that's really neat, and I'm interested to see what they do with the Super NT if it gets a jailbroken firmware. Both Kevin Horton and Analog are both sort of staying mum on that right now. The complexity of those cores is a lot higher. Reports say that it took Mr. Horton a year after the release of the NT Mini to basically make the Super NT core. So who knows if he also has Genesis cores, TurboGrafx cores lying around. But this idea that you can maybe load games in the side, games that you have carts for already, games that you have that you've purchased via other means. You've maybe purchased a license to play it on Wii U Virtual Console. Nintendo's not going to extend that license to the Switch, let's assume, whenever Virtual Console launches. Maybe you feel okay getting that Super Metroid ROM and putting it on your Super NT. Again, I'll sort of leave the gray area ethics of whether or not it's okay and what is a license to own software even mean, et cetera, to a different discussion. But that's sort of where some of the value of the console comes in. And so the way I think about the Super NT is like, you look at that price, $190, and that's either ridiculously expensive for a Super Nintendo that you have to put carts into, and it doesn't come with controllers, or it's a steal. And I think for a lot of people like me who have a Super Nintendo that have an RGB out cable coming out of it, going into, in my case, a switcher, that a SCART switcher that also then goes into a FrameMeister XRGB Mini that then goes into an HD television, or goes right from the SCART switcher to a Sony PVM broadcast monitor. If you're spending that kind of money to get a setup just so you can play Super Nintendo games off of cartridges with minimal lag and have a good experience, $190 is a steal. And so for a lot of people who have struggled with this idea, they've got that Super Nintendo in the closet, but they know they can't just hook it up to their HDTV without getting, I guess we should talk about that. Like, why can't you just use it on your HDTV? When you hook up that original 240p signal Your TV doesn't know what to do with it. And if it does, it's going to upscale it to 720p or 1080p. And the upscaling your television is probably not great. It's going to introduce enough latency or lag and look bad enough that you're not going to really enjoy playing those games. If you hear $190 and you think that's too expensive, the answer for you is it probably is too expensive. And you should definitely check out the Super NES Classic, which is kind of an incredible little console. If you look at that price and you think, oh my God, how did they make it for only $190? Then it's for you and you should go buy one. In my personal case, it's absolutely for me. I think the thing is kind of incredible. And it satisfies something I've been sort of trying to accomplish via these other means, and it satisfies it in a really kind of elegant way. It's not to kind of dismiss the value or authenticity of an emulator, if that's the approach you want to go, but I think for a lot of people it's not. I think they sold out of their initial run of all four colors, so they're making another run now. It's a great piece of hardware. If that sounds like it's up your alley.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Is your New Year's resolution to get a better night's sleep? Are you struggling to get some shut-eye? If you answered yes, I think you're in luck because I've got a good tip for you. Head on over to Mattress Firm, America's neighborhood mattress store. They're going to let you stretch your budget further when you're looking for ways to improve your sleep in 2018. But they're more than just the mattress experts. They've actually got the whole package. They're going to help you transform your mattress into a bed with things like adjustable bases and sheets, headboards, and bedroom decor. They've got you covered literally and figuratively. Now, go to mattressfirm.com/podcast to see the deals that I'm talking about right now. They're even going to give you a 120-night sleep trial to ensure that you're happy with your purchase. Go to mattressfirm.com/podcast to learn how your sleeping could be monumentally improved.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, it's a wonderful review that you put up. It's incredibly detailed and talks about all the aspects, some of which we covered here on the podcast today. We'll link to it, of course, in the show notes. And thanks for joining me today, Chris.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
And thanks to you at home for listening today. We've got a lot more over on Polygon.com, including a feature story that I put up just yesterday about my return to Magic the Gathering after 20 years away, Chris. Some years after you bought that Dreamcast that you traded your entire collection away for, I picked up Magic for the first time and I went back to it and it wasn't that hard to get back into it.
Our new video producer, Brian, said that the Super Nintendo came out when he was -4. So I feel very...
Oh my God. All right, me and my walker and my Metamucil, we're going to head back to the newsroom and start working on some things. But thank you for listening to Polygons Quality Control.